Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we're your friendly, helpful, valuable people dashboard solution that's helping all of you HR leaders out there at small and medium companies automate your HR reporting and analytics process. We know that a lot of you are using a bunch of different best-in-breed systems, pulling spreadsheets from all of them and trying to turn them into some type of HR spreadsheet, dashboard, or PowerPoint, or whatever you're using to try to tell a data-driven story. And we know that that's time-consuming, it's painful, and that's just not the best way for you to do it. So that's why we created Employee Cycle, an all-in-one people dashboard with pre-built API connectors to all of the most popular systems you're using. That's right. We can automatically connect to systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, Zenefits, Trinet, ADP, Refractive, Greenhouse, Lattice, you name it. And we can pull in all that data into one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze a unified view of your people data. Go to employeecycle.com to check us out. Schedule a demo to learn how we can help you automate your HR reporting and analytics process. Would love to chat with you. Well, that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a very special guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Cleo Valoroso. She's the Global Head of People Ops at Live Action. And today we're going to discuss how to successfully reopen your office during COVID-19. Cleo, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Thank you for having me, Bruce.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for deciding to be a guest. We really appreciate it. So, Cleo, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
How? Okay. It's actually quite a loaded question, but honestly, by accident is how I ended up in HR. I was an intern, actually, in the HR department in a hospital where I ended up working full time, and just happened to love it. And 17 years later, here I am.
Got it. Awesome. So, Cleo, today we're talking about how to successfully reopen your office during COVID-19. And yep, there's a lot of people that's trying to figure this out. I'm assuming there's a very small percentage of people that have already done this. Uh-huh. And the majority of HR leaders and companies are probably trying to figure out what this looks like over the next few months, especially as we're going into the winter. And it seems like we're already having an uptick of COVID cases, as well as people with the flu and other sicknesses and viruses that typically happen over the winter. And then there's probably a very small percentage of companies that have decided to just go remote all out forever. So I'm curious, before we get into how did you reopen and how to make that work and make it safe, how did you go about deciding whether or not you were going to reopen or not? And what did that look like?
So, you know, we did a survey as far as, you know, if our employees kind of, you know, how many wanted to come back into our office. Because clearly, obviously, when we were shut down in March, a lot of people weren't really ready to work, you know, from their homes, right? So a lot of people were taking some of their equipment. But yet, I think the more important question is that they didn't have the space really to truly work, right? So when we decided to open in June, we did a survey to see if they would be comfortable coming back. And it's not a mandatory open, just to be clear. It is strictly voluntary, you know, for folks to come in. So obviously we understand, like, with the school system, you know, I guess depending on what county they're at, like, a lot of the kids are still, you know, at home learning, right? They're doing their at home learning. You know, a lot of the companies, as you mentioned a while ago, are also working from home. So we understand a lot of those things that people also have to juggle. So we made a conscious decision to make, once we decided to reopen the office, that it's going to be completely voluntary. Yeah, if they want to come in, absolutely, it's open. And we obviously took precautions, a lot of precautions, actually, to make sure that it's safe. And if they don't want to come in and they just want to stop by, pick up their equipment and, you know, set up at their home office, it's also okay.
Very interesting. And I'm always trying to put myself in the seat of the listener of every single episode. And so I have so many questions that I want to ask that hopefully covers everything that listeners would want to ask you if they could be the host right now. So the first question is, how is this going to impact the size of your office moving forward? Because it's not mandatory, how are you going to deal with capacity management in regards to how big your company becomes, in regards to how big of a space you ever need if you have people in and out at any given moment?
I think, you know, as far as our current capacity is concerned, it's actually quite nice because now, you know, we've learned that while people are comfortable coming into the office, they're comfortable because we have enough space to socially distance them, right? So when we reopened the office, we were conscious about the fact that, you know, especially in tech, you know, a lot of the spaces are quite compact, right? A lot of people are in these community seating where it's quite open and you're living next to your neighbor, right? So when we reopened, we were conscious about the fact that, okay, let's give, you know, folks some distance. So we consciously kind of spaced out folks, regardless if we thought they were coming back into the office or not, to give them that distance away from their neighbor. And so as far as our current space is concerned, I don't think it impacted us particularly, as far as I think other companies might. You know, as you know, a lot of companies have decided that people can permanently work from home, and that definitely, I think, has an impact on how they're going to, you know, operate in a much bigger space, or maybe downsize in a smaller space, because obviously that has an impact on how, you know, it affects them on a monthly basis when it comes to paying rent and operating costs and whatnot. But you know, as far as Live Action is concerned, as far as we're concerned, it was quite nice because, again, we were able to, you know, socially distance all of our desk space for our employees to make sure that they're comfortable enough when they are here because they're not next to their neighbors.
Got it. And because we know that so much of these safety precautions and reopening plans are totally dependent upon your industry, we know that you are a tech company, but can you give us a sense of how many employees you have, and also where are the roles where you have most of your employees, just so the audience can get a sense of who's actually working from home and what kind of work they're doing?
A good amount of our folks are in California. So, you know, a good amount of our population is here in California. Our second biggest population, I would say, would be in Hawaii. And then the third would be in France. And then the rest are kind of like scattered, working remotely from home. A lot of them belong to the sales organization, so they're working, you know, from home and remotely. But, you know, as far as office space is concerned, again, biggest share would be here in California.
Got it. So when it came to doing this survey, what were the results in regards to how people responded? And did you see results differing by people in regards to age or role or location, or was it pretty much the same across the board?
I'd say it's pretty much the same across the board. It's quite just interesting, you know, as far as, you know, again, you know, it was completely voluntary for people to come back in. Some people are just more comfortable, I think, working from the office because they're already quite, you know, their setup is you know, already quite nice, and they didn't have to recreate that, you know, at home. And some folks don't have the space to do that. But as far as the results are concerned, you know, people, I think, were thankful and loved the fact that, again, it wasn't a mandatory, hey, you have to come back, right? Again, we do understand that people have lives and they have to take care, and we have to adjust, right? This is the new norm. And we were completely okay with that fact that if they need to come in once a week or they don't want to, it's okay, as long as they're comfortable.
And during this process, did you ever have to think about a potential challenge of employees who decide to work from home feeling that they may seem less engaged, or they might not have as much of a chance to get promoted or to be seen and recognized because they're working from home while others are at the office and in front of the executives and leadership team?
No, absolutely not. You know, we believe here at Live Action that obviously we hire adults, and adults know their responsibilities, right? So I don't think that was a concern at all. And that's not really a concern for us either. You know, we understand, again, that our employees have lives outside of Live Action, and that we are accommodating of that, right? So that's never been a concern for us, even before COVID. So I don't think that's a concern for them either.
Got Got it. And then on the flip side, which may favor people working from home, I know that prior to COVID, a lot of companies were having things like in-office lunch every day, providing food, maybe providing meditation, and all these other in-office perks and rewards for employees. Are there things now that you used to provide, but now you won't because it makes it unfair, because employees who come to the office will be able to get it, but people who work from home or remotely won't be able to? And if so, have you thought about providing perks that kind of complement both? And so I've seen other companies where if they provide a person to come in and do in-person meditation or mindfulness in the office, for the people who want to experience that in the office, they can. But for everyone else who decides to work from home, they get a subscription to Calm or Headspace. Have you thought through any of those? And has that been applicable to your specific situation?
Well, certainly that's been a consideration and a topic of discussion. However, as far as, you know, the other perks, like what you said, you know, providing food and whatnot, obviously that has quite diminished a lot because there's not a lot of folks that has been constantly coming in here in the office. You know, we are still keeping some of those kind of snacks and whatnot that's in our kitchen. But, you know, obviously in a much more safer, setting. Unlike, you know, before where things are much more open, now it's everything's much more like individually packed and whatnot. But as far as the other perks is concerned, that's definitely a discussion, right? As far as, okay, what can we do now to pivot those perks in order to make sure that the folks that decided to work from home for the time being are also impacted in a nice way, right? So what does that mean? Like, could it be like that we give them a stipend for beautify their home office, or, you know, buy something for their home office to help them with work and whatnot? So that's definitely been a consideration and a topic of discussion for us. But well, we haven't quite moved into that, project yet.
Got it. And so now what I want to do is fast forward to the process of actually opening up and what does that look like? And in order to really make this as useful as possible for our audience, we try to make these as actionable as possible. And so I would love to actually walk through the steps so that our listeners can actually learn from how you did this. So I'm assuming the first step was to communicate to everyone how this would work. So what did that look like?
So obviously we had to communicate the fact that we were going to reopen and it was completely voluntary, right? And then even before that, you know, we had the office, even though the office has been empty for months, we had the office basically deep cleaned. And, the way airlines are doing that, right, with like the static cleaners and like with the UV lights and whatnot, we also changed the filters, the actual filters in our building to make sure that it's an even better filter to make sure that our employees even feel safer when they come back in. We also created care bags for them that includes masks, hand sanitizers, gloves, those little keychains to help them open the door so they don't touch anything, and plenty of those in the care bags. And we left them in every folks' workstation. So should they decide to come in, it's there for them to use. And if not, it's still there for them, depending if they want to come back in or not and pick it up. And it's enough for them to last both, because it's both disposable and reusable. So they can use it, you know, both at work and at home. Obviously, we have a ton of sanitizing stations. So we have a lot of, you know, hand sanitizers all over the place, a lot of wipes. So if people decide to use the conference room or these phone booths that we have, they can, you know, wipe it down, you know, before and after they use it. So that way the next person who might need to use it feel comfortable using it because it's, you know, been cleaned and re-cleaned. So a lot of the sanitizing tools were left out so that way people can reuse them and use them as they please. And every night we get the office deep cleaned. So the next day when people come in, they feel just as safe as they did the day before. And obviously we let people know that if they feel ill by any chance, you know, please don't come in, just please stay home. And obviously they do. And last thing is that we do have plenty of reminders for people to sanitize their hands, don't touch their face, wash their hands, you know, as often as they can, and wear the mask inside the office when they're, you know, around people. So so that way they could, you know, respect each other's spaces.
Two questions about that. The first is, when you were doing all of the, you know, the cleaning and you were going through all the different ways to clean, is there a checklist that you have somewhere where you went on some type of HR website or some type of COVID safe office opening guidelines, or did you just come up with your own plan to do that? And then the second question is, can you tell me a little bit more about that keychain in regards to opening the door? So I don't think I have ever heard anything like that before.
So to answer your first question, we looked at the CDC guidelines, basically, and then also we looked at the state guidelines to see what, you know, it would take for us to reopen and what kind of cleaning they would recommend. So that's something obviously that we had followed. So I do suggest, if, you know, somebody's trying to reopen the office or their office somewhere, that obviously please follow your, you know, local authorities, you know, guidelines in regards to what you should be doing, right? Secondly, for to answer your question, it's one of those, keychains, it looks like a hook. So that way you don't touch anything, and, you know, you can use it at a gas station, and you can use it to hook the door, so that way you don't touch anything. You can use it to ATM, so that way you don't touch the pin pad. It's quite useful, actually. And we gave that to all of our employees that came back in the office. It's on their care bag, so they can use it both inside the office if they wanted to, so they don't touch the handles of the bathroom and whatnot. And so they can use it also outside when they're outside, you know, in the world, running errands and whatever.
That's pretty cool. I'm going to have to put that in the show notes. I'm curious, does this thing also help with knobs too? Because I'm assuming it couldn't twist the doorknob. But
No, it doesn't, unfortunately, open a doorknob. It's just one of those, if it's like your it's like a hook, you know, door, then it would open it. But if it's like an actual circular doorknob, it unfortunately wouldn't help you in that matter. But it's quite useful when you're shopping, you know, and then you have to punch in your, I don't know, pin code or sign on a pad, or, you know, get gas and stuff like that. Because then it's less surface that you're touching, because it's the little keychain is touching it for you. Just don't forget to sanitize it.
I like that a lot. I think we're definitely going to send that to everybody on our team. Thank you. I appreciate that. Glad you shared.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So now everybody is in the office, and you've done all this cleaning. You've done all this prep. Tell me, what does that look like? Day one, people are coming in. I'm assuming, do people still have assigned seating? Are you telling people that here's a roped off area, there's no common area that people can hang out in? What does that look like?
Yeah, we no longer have a common area like we used to. So that's completely roped off, as you mentioned. People do have their assigned seating, because we, as I mentioned a while ago, we moved them around to make sure that they have enough space in between their neighbors. And then also, because luckily we have enough space here, we made some of the walkways one way, so that way they don't interact when, you know, they're going to the kitchen or to use the restroom or something. So that way they don't bump into each other as much as possible. So they have less contact, which is kind of, it's nice and weird at the same time, right? Because you have people in the office, but then you're, you know, forcing them to go one way, like the groceries are now doing nowadays. But yeah, you still have people that you can wave and say hi to, because you're still seeing, you know, another human being, which is nice. But, you know, we're asking them again to wear masks and whatnot, but, you know, less contact as possible, no common areas. So same thing in our kitchen. There are some areas that are blocked off where, so people don't congregate when they're having lunch, and we actually discourage that. So we let them know that if they could eat on their desk, that would be great. If they want to eat in the kitchen, just make sure that it's like their distance, you know, accordingly.
Are employees getting their temperature checked on a daily basis, either by you or by, I don't know if you're in a larger office building?
We're not in a Class A building. We're in a standalone building. But no, we are not doing the temperature check. We had left that out to our employees to make sure that if they're not feeling well, that please do not come in. And our employees have been really diligent about that fact, that if they're not, then they don't come in at all. And so far, it's worked. You know, as I mentioned, you know, we believe that we hire adults, and adults know what they're doing, right? So hopefully it continues to be that way.
Got it. Have you onboarded any new employees in regards to this hybrid since you've reopened the office? And I'm asking because I'm curious as to how did you onboard, if you did hire a new employee since you've reopened, how did you onboard this new employee? Because everybody else had the benefit of knowing what it was like to work in an office. But now onboarding a new employee in this hybrid work environment, what did that look like if you did that?
We have actually, added a few new folks into our team. So during the pandemic this past few months. And so we obviously had to onboard them, virtually through Zoom. So we do the orientation through Zoom, a lot of the discussions through Zoom to as much as we can through these virtual meetings with the cameras on. So that way they could see who they're speaking to and they can get to know who they're talking to. A lot of discussions that way. Unfortunately, that's the only thing we can do right now until, we can congregate again, whatever that might be. But, having that, this is the new norm, right? So I think people are kind of gotten used to that a little bit. But these folks luckily are working from home anyway. So I don't think it's much of a difference. I think the only difference is that once we are reopened, hopefully they can come by and visit and, meet us in person.
Awesome. And then the last question I would like to ask, what was the biggest lesson learned for you throughout this reopening experience? And is there anything that you did that you wish you would have done a little differently that the audience can potentially learn from your experience?
The biggest lesson, it's really about the planning. I think there was a lot to do, and I'm actually glad that we had planned a little bit ahead of time when even before we decided when we were going to reopen. But it's quite overwhelming. So I think lesson to me is that maybe we should have started a little bit earlier, like collecting some of these things that we were going to give away, like the hand sanitizers, these masks, so on and so forth, because it is a lot. And then you still have to communicate, and make sure that all these things happen in a very specific manner and time. Most especially the deep cleaning, because we had an EPA certified, person that came in and had the office, deep cleaned that way. And so I think, just planning things ahead of time would really help so that person, whoever is taking that on or a team, they're not overwhelmed by all the details, because you don't want to miss any details, right? Because you want to make sure that, you're reopening in a safe manner. So I think a lot of planning and planning ahead of time would be my best, advice.
Leo, thank you so much for sharing your insight around such an important and timely topic. There are so many HR leaders out there trying to figure out how and if they're going to do this with their workforce and their office. And so any insight that they can get from professionals like yourself that have already went through it, I'm sure they really value it. So thanks for being an awesome podcast guest.
No, of course, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me again.
For sure. So where can people find you in Live Action online?
Yep. If they have any questions, they can reach me through Live Action. It's at tvaloros@liveaction.com.
Awesome. And so all of you out there listening, if you enjoyed this podcast as much as Cleo and I did making it, then please leave us a 5 stars on iTunes, because it shows that you care and it shows that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the very first time that you're listening to our podcast, and you came here because you're either already a huge super fan of Cleo and you just had to hear what she was going to have to say, or you came here because the topic was super compelling and relevant and timely, but you're also hungry for more interviews, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other podcast platforms. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.